Mr. Smith, people don't die, only bodies die. You'll be around for a long time after your death. Now is the time to plan ahead.
A message from Lifeline Productions. 1-800-523-8669. LifelinePro.com.
You're listening to FirstAmendmentRadio.com, Galaxy 13, Channel 16, Audio 7.70, and worldwide on the Internet at FirstAmendmentRadio.com.
Again, to the third hour of American Exposé for Thursday, the 23rd of June, 2005. Yeah, it's spread out, but that's the way it is with the shortwave, and that's Melody's direction. And we aren't going to consolidate it anymore, I don't think, because I can't possibly interfere with Jackie Petrou's broadcast, not after our history. And the way it is the way it is, listeners. Sometimes you catch it, sometimes you don't, but you can always catch it on the archives at First Amendment Radio and subscribe and get these broadcasts that I do. I don't know how long I'm going to be here, listeners. I just don't know. And that's beside the point. That's my business. You've got to get copies of these broadcasts that I do. I don't make copies. I stopped making copies in California when I left, but our situation is dire, absolutely dire. And one of you good emailers sent this to me, and I do appreciate your thought patterns, because it sort of dawned on me as I was outside just before the broadcast that, yes, this property seizure deal or land seizure can connect to the NAFTA corridors. And this individual sent me this information. With the Supreme Court ruling today, it will open the door for the theft of all landowners' properties on both sides of the 4,000-mile-long NAFTA United Nations I-69 corridor from Matamoros and Nuevo Laredo, Mexico, to Toronto, Canada. This can only be done to declared citizens of the corporatism United States. And I agree wholeheartedly with what he states. And it's just a very gigantic coincidence that I was thinking the same thing as I came in here to do this third hour. It fits totally into this public-private partnership of the NAFTA corridors, listeners. It is just spine-chilling to think about the direction that's coming into place. It's spine-chilling because anybody on either side of I-35, it's not going to be right next to I-35. It's going to be planned. It could be a few miles from I-35. It could be 10 miles from I-35. They don't have this thing totally drawn out yet. They do have plans in place. They do have some things drawn out. But there's perspectives that are being engineered as to where they're going to develop these mega highways. And I've covered this mega highway system. And once again, William Brannigan from the Washington Post, and I'll just cover this email that he sent. The Supreme Court today effectively expanded, although it's on our website too, the right of local governments to seize private property under eminent domain, ruling that people's homes and houses, even those not considered blighted, can be taken against their will for private development if the seizure serves a broadly defined public use. In a 5-4 decision, the court upheld the ability of New London, Connecticut, to seize people's homes to make way for an office, residential, and retail complex supporting a new $300 million research facility of the Pfizer Pharmaceutical Company. The city had argued that the project served a public use within the meaning of the Takings Clause of the Fifth Amendment to the Constitution because it would increase tax revenues, create jobs, and improve the local economy. Now, there you have it. The situation in place. The taking of property for the NAFTA corridors. Engineered. And that makes total sense to me. It's an incredible situation, people. I'm just amazed that you are out there, or someone out there is paying attention. I'm just amazed, and I'm very happy that someone sent this to me. The Super Corridor Coalition. NASCO continues work on Inland Ports Network, transportation technology promotion in Mexico. NASCO endorses free and secure trade program, FAST, to improve security and efficiency. What's that? Smart highways, toll roads. NASCO to work with Congressional Caucus in promoting Interstates 35, 29, and 94. I-35, I-29, and I-94, people. NASCO facilitates International Trade Corridor Memorandum of Understanding. NASCO endorses continued development and deployment of new technology to secure cargo movement. Smart technology, listeners. State of Iowa, NASCO to lead North American International Trade Corridor Traveler Technology Study. And the bottom line is, I've been talking about the NAFTA corridors for 7 years. It's absolutely incredible the way this thing's coming into place. It's not fun to witness. Here we see a group of U.S. states, a Canadian province, and North America Super Corridor Coalition, Incorporated, have signed a document creating a framework for continued cooperation toward technology development and infrastructure enhancement of Interstates I-35, I-29, and I-94. Also known as the North American International Trade Corridor. The Memorandum of Understanding received the support of 8 states, North Dakota, South Dakota, Minnesota, Iowa, Missouri, Kansas, Oklahoma, and Texas. Those idiots. These people have no clue of what's being driven and directed. The Canadian province of Manitoba, the Kansas Turnpike Authority, and NASCO. Citing increased commercial vehicle use of the aforementioned interstates, state departments of transportation support the efforts of NASCO to address transportation challenges on a regional basis. Quote, the creation and adoption of this Memorandum of Understanding, MOU, is critical and timely, given the upcoming debate over transportation reauthorization legislation, end quote, says NASCO President Tim Brown, who is a Bell County, Texas commissioner. quote, "We are confident this cooperative agreement can be used to improve I-35, I-29, and I-94 by attracting the necessary funding to upgrade the most important north-south trade corridor in North America," end quote. Most important for the NAFTA system and the United Nations system, the trade system of General Agreement on Tariffs and Trade formed in 1947. The World Trade Organization is what we're a part of here. That's what NAFTA is, part of the WTO, listeners. The United Nations system. And this is what gets me so upset about certain people that say the UN is nothing more than a think tank that doesn't have anything. We are the UN system, and I keep reiterating the fact that, yes, the Secretary of the Treasury is the U.S. Governor of the IMF, the International Bank for Reconstruction and Development, the African Development Bank, and the Asian Development Bank. And he receives no compensation from the United States, which is a federal corporation. NASCO facilitates International Trade Corridor Memorandum of Understanding, listeners. The latest MOU builds on an earlier document supported by the aforementioned states, which focused on technology studies and improvements for the corridor. Both documents were written and disseminated in order to raise awareness about the corridor's needs in light of growing traffic counts. Well, let's just flood the country with migration some more. Transportation improvements planned by State Department of Transportation and promoted by NASCO will increase the security, safety, and efficiency of both commercial and non-commercial users of these interstates. NASCO is a public-private, non-profit corporation seeking to create an international trade corridor system throughout North America. NASCO's focus is on securing funding for projects on the I-35-29-94 corridor to improve trade flows and transportation security, safety, and efficiency. The coalition also promotes the development of international trade processing centers to enhance economic development in the region. Listeners, does that make you want to go throw up? As jobs, as of the World Trade Organization, and the encouragement to make people and corporations move because of tax incentives, taking jobs and factories below the border and overseas, mostly to communist China, Malaysia, Vietnam, utilizing slave labor to build slave labor products to bring back to this country to pay for it at a semi-reduced rate here. As a result of NASCO's federal lobbying efforts, I-35 was designated a high-priority corridor under the National Highway System Designation Act of 1995. I-29 and a large portion of I-94 were given high priority corridor status under the Transportation Equity Act for the 21st Century, TEA 21. Again, due to NASCO's efforts, this is the bottom line. The North American Super Corridor Coalition, which used to be the North American Super Highway Coalition, now it's the North American Super Corridor Coalition. The designation makes these routes eligible for funding under the National Corridor Planning and Development Program within TEA 21. These interstates connect the busiest U.S.-Mexico border crossing at Laredo, Texas, the busiest U.S.-Canada border crossing, the Ambassador Bridge located in Detroit and Windsor, Ontario, the Pembina-Emerson border crossing in North Dakota, Manitoba, Canada, and an international maritime port in Duluth, Minnesota. Every major east-west interstate highway, the Trans-Canada Highway, and the major lines of several transcontinental railroads cross this corridor. You cannot believe the movement going on here, the public-private partnership of the United Nations system being implemented in this country, and most people don't have a clue that it comes from the United Nations system. Most people don't have a clue it's being engineered. Most people think, it's okay. Nothing's going to happen. Well, just wait till eminent domain starts taking property, and people won't have any say in it. Then you have the Office of Homeland Security to deal with people such as those that object to losing their property to this mega highway, which is totally unnecessary. The highway system is quite efficient the way it is. The truck drivers in America are going to lose their jobs because the truck drivers in Mexico will get paid considerably less to haul the same freight. This is the bottom line. This is what Henry Kissinger said when NAFTA passed. It's going to be the biggest move towards the New World Order ever, and the fact is that it's lowering the playing field, lowering our standards, raising the standards a little bit in third world countries, but not to the degree that we should really be concerned about. We as a whole country. Leaders of North America Super Corridor Coalition Incorporated, NASCO, announced their support today for a joint U.S.-Canadian program that will make cross-border commercial shipments more secure, cheaper, and subject to fewer delays. According to a recently released progress report on the U.S.-Canada Smart Border Declaration, the Free and Secure Trade Program, that's FAST, establishes a public-private partnership to improve security measures throughout the entire supply chain. Companies that make the commitment to improve their supply chain security will enjoy the benefits of a fast lane for commercial truck traffic. Quote, there is no doubt this program will expedite the movement of commercial shipments across our shared border, end quote, said NASCO President Tim Brown, who is a Bell County, Texas commissioner. And why does the freight have to be moved any faster, listeners? In short, FAST, Free and Secure Trade, will make many cross-border commercial shipments simpler, cheaper, and subject to fewer delays, all while enhancing security. Isn't that just amazing? What is that going to entail? More expense, people. They may not say so, but the truck drivers, the companies that own the trucks, will have to pay on these toll roads. FAST is designed from the framework of our existing unilateral supply chain security programs. Canada's Customs Self-Assessment and Partners in Protection, CSA/PIP, and the United States Customs Trade Partnership Against Terrorism, C-TPAT. FAST provides a simpler clearance process for lower-risk shipments, those imported by pre-authorized importers and carried by pre-authorized drivers and carriers. Improved participants will use a dedicated fast lane, which will significantly expedite the processing of shipments. Businesses will benefit from a simpler clearance process and greater efficiency in the shipment of their goods. FAST also reduces the administrative burden on businesses by minimizing the amount of trade compliance verification that is done at the border. This allows frontline customs officials to focus on higher risk traffic. I don't see how this makes any sense. Quote, this program's success is critical for public and private interest in Canada as well, end quote, said NASCO Vice President Don Norquay, who is the Assistant Deputy Minister for Transportation Policy for the province of Manitoba, Canada. Quote, more than 30% of Canada's gross domestic product comes from trade with the U.S. It is critical that commercial cargo handled by pre-authorized businesses be moved as quickly as possible, while other freight is checked for security risks with the best technology available, end quote. They should have been doing this years ago, checking freight for risks. But we're in a global economy, people. There could very well be a military establishment in this country from communist China, from Russia, communist Russia, right now. We just don't see them in their uniforms. We just don't see them with their equipment. FAST is the first step in an ongoing effort to align how the U.S. and Canada process all commercial shipments by truck, plane, train, or ship. The goal is to provide companies compatible procedures to follow when importing to either country. NASCO is a public-private nonprofit corporation seeking to create an international trade corridor system throughout North America. NASCO's focus is on securing funding for projects on the I-35, I-29, I-94 corridor to improve trade flows and transportation security, safety, and efficiency. This is the reason for the ruling by the Supremes. Bottom line, listeners, it's going to be a mega system. They're even going to have foreign companies come in here and build the highways. Or they're talking about it anyway. Citing the need to continually improve the continent's premier trade corridor, NASCO officials announced they would partner with the newly formed North America Super Corridor Caucus in Congress. Quote, having members of Congress on your side is a great advantage as we continue to seek funding to upgrade Interstates 35, 29, and 94. End quote, said Tim Brown, who is NASCO's president and a Bell County, Texas commissioner. Quote, with transportation reauthorization legislation scheduled to be completed sometime next year, the importance of this partnership is obvious, end quote. Well, what's obvious to me is the continued loss of sovereignty under the guise of the United Nations system engineered by the State Department and all government agencies. When did this start? Once again, Executive Order number 11552, August 26, 1970, improving for details and transfers of federal employees to international organizations. There's where we are today. Many of them don't even know they're working for the United Nations system called international. Representative Chet Edwards, Democrat of Texas, and Representative Sam Graves, Republican of Missouri, led the group, initially members of Congress whose districts include I-35, 29, and 94, will be asked to participate in the caucus. The group's stated purpose is to promote corridor development. Well, you better believe those in Oklahoma will cooperate fully, because they just don't understand. Once again, NASCO is a public-private nonprofit corporation seeking to create an international trade corridor system throughout North America. NASCO's focus is on securing funding for projects on the I-35, 29, 94 corridor to improve trade flows and transportation security, safety, and efficiency. As a result of NASCO's federal U.S. lobbying efforts, I-35 was designated a high-priority corridor under the National Highway System Designation Act of 1995. I-29 and a large portion of I-94 were given high-priority corridor status under the Transportation Equity Act for the 21st Century, TEA 21, again due to NASCO's efforts. The designation makes these routes eligible for funding under the National Corridor Planning and Development Program within TEA 21. These interstates connect the busiest U.S.-Mexico border crossings at Laredo, Texas, the busiest U.S.-Canadian border crossing, and once again, we've covered this already, but it's worth repeating, the Ambassador Bridge located in Detroit and Windsor, Ontario. The Pembina-Emerson border crossing in North Dakota, Manitoba, Canada, and an international maritime port in Duluth, Minnesota. Every major east-west interstate highway, the Trans-Canada Highway, and the major lanes of several transcontinental railroads intersect this corridor. What a mess. What an engineering nightmare, but it's going to happen unless enough people understand what it's all about. The movement and engineering of all this is well structured. I'm just in a state of numbness about the engineering of all this. You've got to realize what this is all part of. Smart highways are part of this. Smart highways are a major part of this, listeners. And where did it all start? Executive Order 11552, August 26, 1970, providing for details and transfers of federal employees to international organizations. That's where it started. Here we see from the Wall Street Journal, dated May 19th, 2005. Debate pits private property against powers of the state. Later this spring, the Supreme Court is expected to issue an opinion on the power of governments to seize private property. It says the closely watched case centers on a new London, Connecticut economic development plan. The city wants to use eminent domain to build offices, a hotel, condominiums, and parking where houses now stand, arguing that its plan has economic benefits in new jobs and property tax revenue. But opponents maintain that the project isn't a legitimate public use, saying it unjustly takes private property for a project that will benefit other private interests. As a warm-up to the court's decision, which is expected sometime before the end of the term, June 30th, and we already had it, economic blogger Don Berdreau and Harvard Law professor David Boren debate the theories underlying eminent domain and public use of private property. Don Berdreau writes, "Secure private property rights are the foundation of liberty and commerce, the chief pillars of our civilization. Such rights give each of us the elbow room necessary to develop our unique talents and to think and act on whatever peaceful ways we like, even if others find our thoughts and actions to be disagreeable. Security of these rights also encourages the mutually beneficial exchanges upon which economic prosperity depends, in large part by preventing property transfers that aren't mutually beneficial. Suppose I think that I value my neighbor's car more than he values it. The only way for me or anyone else to be sure is for the new law or the law to require me to secure my neighbor's consent to sell his car to me. If I could simply take his car without his consent, as long as I agreed to pay the car's blue book value, there's no guarantee that this property transfer is mutually beneficial. My taking my neighbor's car without his consent is thievery, pure and simple. No economy raises above substance without a widespread, hard and fast requirement of mutual consent for property transfers. Contrary to much modern mythology, nothing but government renders its violations of property rights less objectionable than those of common thieves and vandals. The city of New London, Connecticut, is permitted to confiscate property belonging to others, even if it is required to pay fair market value to the former owners. Ordinary people will be less secure in their persons and possessions. So much going on, and yet the gigantic building of the NAFTA corridors is so unnecessary, so overly priced, and so ridiculous and redundant. Thank you.
The opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests, and are not necessarily those of the First Amendment Radio Network or its affiliated radio stations.
You are listening to the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network. We do not have freedom of speech because the Constitution gives it to us. The constitutional amendment was written to keep the government from taking our freedom away. The Creator gave us our rights, but He also gives us the capacity to do evil or usurp the rights of others. Our individual rights end where the rights of another begin. No one has the right to do evil, because evil can never be right. Those who would seek to limit your right to speak or hear the truth are the same who seek to subjugate, control, and enslave you. Freedom is not free. Support the Worldwide First Amendment Radio Network by going to firstamendmentradio.com on the internet and following the instructions there to support us. Thank you for listening.
Hear that? That's the sound of nearly 3 million American jobs being flushed down the toilet. What caused it? NAFTA. 10 years ago, Congress passed NAFTA. It was supposed to boost our economy. Instead, we lost millions of jobs and the nation is still hurting. But now Congress is quietly considering doing it again, but worse this time, by creating a free trade area of the Americas, also called the FTAA. This would outsource millions more American jobs and businesses. How can our country survive this devastation again? Learn how you can help. Visit www.stoptheftaa.org or call 1-800-JBS-USA1. Log on to our website and let Congress know that you think FTAA is not an option for America's future. Stoptheftaa.org and keep American jobs in America.
Listeners, I just had it and it went away. We see here, under NASCO's mission to maximize economic opportunity through advocacy and development of a safe, efficient international trade and multimodal transportation corridor, Secure Trade and Transportation Tracking Project, that's Secure Trade and Transportation Tracking Project, receives $1.5 million in federal funding. Thank you to Congressman Latham of Iowa. Here we see NASCO Secure Trade and Transportation Tracking Project, STRAP, or STRA-3P, received a $1.5 million designation in the Intelligent Transportation Systems account of the fiscal year 2005 Department of Transportation Appropriations Bill. The proposed demonstration project will test security and accountability throughout the trade process by focusing on information and device management. It will establish a partnership between voluntary industry participants who will track the location and condition of cargo throughout the chain of custody, while government agencies at the local, state, and federal and foreign level will have access to the appropriate information on an as-needed basis. The intended outcome of STRA-3P is to allow businesses and government participants to evaluate new electronic data exchange and integrated tracking device methodologies and analyze performance with respect to security and facilitating cargo movement. The project will also document the benefits and challenges of data standardization and enhanced data sharing, such as faster emergency response, shorter inspection times, error reduction. That's always the excuse for more expenses, listeners. And voluntary participants will identify strengths and weaknesses in the trade process, recommended feasible alternatives, and evaluate electronic data sharing and detection technologies. The project envisions a 24-month project timeline. STRA3P, that's STRA3P, which is basically NASCO's Secure Trade and Transportation Tracking Project, is to allow businesses and government participants to evaluate new electronic data exchange and integrated tracking device methodologies. And once again, analyze performance with respect to security and facilitating cargo movement. The project envisions a 24-month project timeline. STRA3P begins by creating scenarios and testing data and tracking device processes among the states of Iowa, Kansas, Missouri, Oklahoma, and Texas, with expansion into international trade transactions with Canada in month 10, and into exports and imports from Mexico in month 13. The first year funding will allow us to, 1, assemble the local, state, and federal participants, ranging from the state of Iowa to the state of Texas, including Department of Public Safety, to address emergency response issues, homeland security issues, and hazardous material issues, state departments of transportation and government agencies. 2, develop scenarios and test patterns for test participants from businesses that are shipping goods and using the various modes of transportation. Research and define the technology options that will be demonstrated and tested in the STRA3P project, and define the technology tracking centers that would be necessary to handle the integrated communication and notification system. Additional funding appropriations from future fiscal year budgets will allow us to conduct the test and demonstrate them in live, real-time situations as described in the paragraphs above that I just covered. And we have the surface trade with Canada and Mexico rose 80.9% since the start of NAFTA, listeners, at the expense of the sovereignty of America. The sovereignty of every country was valuable at one time. The sovereignty of most every country has been taken and ripped from them, especially since the Bretton Woods Agreement of 1944, creating the International Monetary Fund. Dated Tuesday, December 7th, I would presume that was 2004, listeners, from the Bureau of Transportation Statistics. In the 10 years since the North American Free Trade Agreement, NAFTA, took effect, trade using surface transportation between the United States and its partners, Canada and Mexico, has grown more than 80%, and as of September, is valued at $54.9 billion. The Bureau of Transportation Statistics of the U.S. Department of Transportation reported, service transportation consists of freight movements by truck, rail, pipeline, and other modes of surface transportation. About 90% of U.S. trade with Canada and Mexico moves by surface transportation. I'm just trying to find that newspaper article about the highways. Don't seem to have it here handy. But total surface transportation trade value was up 80.9% from September 1994 and 29.3% from September 2001. Exports increased 57.3% compared to September 1994, while imports over the same time rose 103.7%. Naturally. The $54.9 billion in surface transportation trade in September was 12.4% more than in September 2003. Total surface transportation trade rose 2.5% in September 2004 from August 2004. Month-to-month changes can be affected by seasonal variations and other factors. The U.S. surface transportation trade with Canada rose 12.5% in September from September 2003, $35.4 billion. It's a global economy, listeners. Exports by truck, the largest amount of value, increased 11.8% from September 2003, while imports by truck rose 8.2%. Michigan led all states in service trade with Canada in September with $6.0 billion. U.S.-Mexico surface transportation trade rose 12.1% in September from September 2003 to $19.5 billion. Imports by truck, the largest amount by value, increased 12.8% from September 2003, while exports by truck rose 10.0%. Texas led all states in service trade with Mexico in September with $6.4 billion. The transborder surface freight data set is a special extract of the official U.S. foreign trade statistics. The data are tabulated for BTS monthly by the U.S. Census Bureau's Foreign Trade Division. September transborder numbers include data received by BTS as of November 15th. The press release and summary tables can be found at www.bts.gov. More information on transborder freight data and data from previous months are posted on the BTS website at www.bts.gov/transborder. North American Inland Port Network Working Group meeting in Mexico City, February 23rd to the 25th, 2005. Done deal. NASCO, NAITCP, and the BTA host summit in San Pedro, Mexico, May 11th through the 13th. Done deal. Inland Ports Across America Conference in San Antonio is scheduled for this fall, 2005. NASCO will be partnering with the Free Trade Alliance San Antonio to host the first ever Inland Ports Across America Conference in the fall of 2005 in San Antonio, Texas. The purpose of the conference is to unite port authorities, economic developers, landowners, and property developers, warehouse operators, third-party logistics providers, consultants, port users, customs brokers, and freight forwarders, carriers, and other inland ports to provide them with up-to-date information regarding the needs of inland ports in North America, focusing on economic development, customer service, security, and developing trends. The meeting is expected to attract approximately 200 representatives from U.S., Canada, and Mexico. Keep in mind, listeners, under Agenda 21, the automobile is to be eliminated. There is road removal going on. We don't see it very often, but road removal is being engineered. The price of gas will raise and rise considerably unless enough people become aware of what's being done. The South Dakota-based Datatronics, a valued customer of NASCO, designs, manufactures, and markets and services display systems for customers around the world in transportation applications, businesses, and sports. The company was recently recognized as one of the 200 best small companies in America by Forbes for its consistent pattern of positive growth over a five-year period and previous 12 months. North Dakota Daktronics listeners. The Texas Department of Transportation, in partnership with the city of Gainesville, Texas, will begin construction this summer on a redesigned interchange between Interstate 35 and U.S. Highway 82. The interchange is the first major interchange along Interstate 35 for travelers heading south into the state of Texas. The project, referred to as the Gateway to Texas Interchange, will replace a partial cloverleaf design with a standard urban diamond interchange with continuous frontage roads that currently do not exist. The city of Gainesville first presented the concept for these improvements to the Texas Department of Transportation Commissioners on July 30, 1998. Since that time, representatives from the city have been working with the department on several design solutions and beautification alternatives to arrive at the chosen interchange project. Oh my! The Texas Transportation Commission recently selected a consortium led by the Spanish firm Cintra Concesionados de Infraestructuras de Transporte, based in Madrid, and Zachary Construction Incorporated, or actually Zachary Construction Corporation, based in San Antonio, to build and operate the TTC 35. The firm agreed to pay for a $6 billion toll road from the north of the Dallas-Fort Worth area to south of San Antonio in exchange for the right to collect tolls for 50 years. Cintra has also agreed to pay the Texas Department of Transportation roughly $1.2 billion concession fees by 2014. The projected speed limit on the TTC 35 will be 85 miles per hour, and trucks will be allowed to carry 50% more cargo. In other words, they'll be made out of concrete, listeners. The precise route of the corridor will be narrowed to a 10-mile-wide corridor by Texas Department of Transportation, Cintra, and federal highway regulators by late spring of 2005. Once again, the precise route of the corridor will be narrowed to a 10-mile-wide corridor, a 10-mile-wide corridor, a 10-mile-wide corridor by Texas Department of Transportation, Cintra, and federal highways regulators by late spring 2005. Officials say the final route will most likely be close to urban centers as possible, but still far enough away to be mostly free of city traffic. The likely route will run from the Oklahoma border to the east side of San Antonio, paralleling the existing I-35. The 300-mile section will be the first phase of the TTC 35, with construction planned to begin in 2007 and completed by 2015. A segment connecting to Mexico, either through the Rio Grande Valley or Laredo, is planned for some time after 2025. The plan submitted by Cintra recommended the extension to Mexico go to the Rio Grande Valley, but a final decision on the extension is most likely years away. Well, isn't that comforting to know? On June 9, 1998, the President signed into law Public Law 105-178, the Transportation Equity Act for the 21st Century, TEA 21, authorizing highway safety, transit, and other surface transportation programs for the next 6 years. Subsequent technical corrections in the TEA 21 Restoration Act have been incorporated. Thus, the material presented here reflects the combined effects of both acts, and the two are jointly referred to as TEA 21. TEA 21 builds on the initiatives established in the Intermodal Surface Transportation Efficiency Act of 1991, ISTEA, which was the last major authorizing legislation for surface transportation. This new act combines the continuation and improvement of current programs with new initiatives to meet the challenges of improving safety as traffic continues to increase at record levels, protecting and enhancing communities and the natural environment as we provide transportation, and advancing America's economic growth and competitiveness domestically and internationally through efficient and flexible transportation. Oh, my goodness. Significant features of TEA 21 include assurance of a guaranteed level of federal funds for service transportation through fiscal year 2003. The annual floor for highway funding is key to receipts of highway account of the Highway Trust Fund, the HTF. Transit funding is guaranteed at a selected fixed amount. All highway user taxes are extended at the same rates when the legislation was enacted. Also, extension of the Disadvantaged Business Enterprises, the DBE program, providing a flexible national 10% goal for the participation of disadvantaged business enterprises, including small firms owned and controlled by women and minorities, in highway and transit contracting undertaken with federal funding. See, do we really live in a constitutional republic? No. Do we really live in a democracy? Yes. Code word for communism. Also, strengthening of safety programs across the Department of Transportation, the DOT. New incentive programs with great potential for savings of life and property are aimed at increasing the use of safety belts and promoting the enactment of enforcement of 0.08% blood alcohol concentration standards for drunk driving. These new incentive funds, also offer added flexibility to states since the grants can be used for any Title 23 U.S. Code activity. Continuation of the proven and effective program structure established for highways and transit under the landmark ISTEA legislation. Flexibility in the use of funds, emphasis on measures to improve the environment, focus on a strong planning focus in the foundation of good transportation decisions. All ISTEA trademarks are continued and enhanced by TEA 21. New incentives such as border infrastructure, transportation infrastructure, finance and innovation, and access to jobs target special areas of national interest and concern. Investing in research and its application to maximize the performance of the transportation system. Special emphasis is placed on deployment of intelligent transportation systems to help improve operations and management of transportation systems and vehicle safety. Is it really that bad, what we have? And there's the problem. Once again, this individual sent me this email as I opened it up just as the broadcast started, thinking the same way I was thinking, listeners. With the Supreme Court ruling today, it will open the door for the theft of all landowners' properties on both sides of the 4,000-mile-long NAFTA United Nations I-69 corridor from Matamoros and Nuevo Laredo, Mexico to Toronto, Canada. This can only be done to declared citizens of the corporatism United States. A sad, sad commentary, to say the least, of the way things are being engineered. I'm so sorry to be the bearer of this information on a constant basis. I'm so sorry. I'm trying to find some information here, and here it is. Here it is. Texas set to build mega big highways. Dated December 30th, 2004. Supporters say the corridors are needed to handle the expected NAFTA-driven boom in the flow of goods to and from Mexico and to enable freight haulers to bypass cities. What is the point of all this, listeners? Loss of sovereignty is the point of it all. In the meantime, we see patent number 77431, November 2nd, 1999. A passive transponder may be encoded with a number or code of up to 64 binary bits and then associated with a or mounted to virtually any living tissue implant for implantation in a human. After implantation, the transponder's code may be conveniently read with a handheld electromagnetic reader, which may merely be brought within proximity of the transponder. The encoded transponder may thus be read in a non-invasive procedure and without the use of any sophisticated or potentially harmful medical equipment or technology such as X-ray. The information encoded in the transponder may correspond to patient demographics or an implant data to aid in tracking the implant's progress and use for medical as well as legal reasons. And what's going to keep everyone from having an implant put in them? The inventor, Terry R. Knapp. And John Stewart from Berkeley, California. The assignee, Lipometrics. It's Lipometrics, Lipometrix, Incorporated. Application number 915907. Dated August 21st, 1997. United States patent number 5977431. How close are we to it? All for medical and legal purposes, supposedly. Here we see U.S. 5878155, method for verifying human identity during electronic sale transactions. A method is presented for facilitating sales transactions by electronic media. A barcode or a design is tattooed on an individual. A barcode or a design is tattooed on an individual before the sales transaction can be consummated. The tattoo is scanned with a scanner. Characteristics about the scanned tattoo are compared to characteristics about other tattoos stored on a computer database in order to verify the identity of the buyer. Once verified, the seller may be authorized to debit the buyer's electronic bank account in order to consummate the transaction. The seller's electronic bank account may be similarly updated. Absolutely amazing, people. I'm speechless. The move goes on. Go to AmericanExpose.com. All the documentation you could possibly need is there on AmericanExpose.com. Keep that in mind, listeners. Very, very important to keep that in mind. It's all there on AmericanExpose.com. Thanks to Dennis and Darren. Good night. Pay attention to Darren tomorrow night at this time slot. Darren Winks tomorrow and Monday night at this time slot. A full documentary of information. Darren Winks.